For this last reading, I'll also have some words of hopefully encouragement and proclamation centered on Christ and his death for us. The reason that the death of Christ gives us joy is because it's the death of Christ that brings us to God. And that's what we need most. This has been the world's greatest need ever since Genesis chapter 3, a Savior. We need God to save us from our sins. We need God to save us from death. We need God to save us from his judgment against our sins. And praise God, he provides a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through his death that Jesus brings us to God. Therefore, it's the death of Jesus that is the root, the fountain source of all of our joy. Jesus Christ gives us hope for the long term, but he gives us a lot more than that. Jesus gives us peace inwardly, daily, hour by hour in this life. Our final reading for this evening is Matthew 27, 45 to 54, on the death of Christ. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." There's one half of one verse that I would like to draw our attention to. Probably becoming pretty predictable on one half of this same verse every Good Friday. But I really like it and it's really good for us. Verse 51, the first part of it. This is what happens upon Jesus dying, right? You can glance at verse 50. Jesus cries out his last cry on earth and he yields up his spirit, which means the spirit leaves the body and returns to the Father. And now verse 51, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So not like a little rip. And first of all, not a little curtain and not a little rip. It's a huge curtain. It's a thick curtain. Think of it as a barrier that now becomes a doorway. That's the main imagery. Now, it's in the temple, the curtain of the temple. So the curtain blocked off the most important room in the temple, which was the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And do you remember what that room symbolized? Symbolized the dwelling place of God. So this is a symbolic miracle. And it is such a vivid a teacher. That's what the symbolic miracle is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a teacher. It's supposed to teach us about the meaning of Christ's death. It's supposed to show us, to shine a light on the significance of Jesus' death. And the significance of Jesus' death is he gives us access to God. Jesus' death grants sinners access to God. Now, we're out of our minds if we think that's a small accomplishment. That there's a holy God who's perfect in all of his attributes. He's perfect and pure. the definition of moral and ethical purity in all of his thoughts, all of his desires, all of his words, all of his ways, all of his judgments are righteous and just and good. This holy God, and we've lived our lives of an opposite standard. We've gone our own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And the one thing we do not deserve by our own merits, the one thing we certainly do not deserve, is to be able to step in the holy presence of Almighty God. And apart from the death of Christ, apart from the death of Christ, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, hear me. Apart from the death of Christ, none of us would ever be able to step into the favorable, holy presence of Almighty God. It is the death of Christ that grants us access to God. Praise the Lord. Without access to God, we would have no hope. And without hope, we would have no joy. We'd have no hope for the long term. We'd have no peace for daily life. The barrier to God has become a gateway to God. It's become a doorway to God. Jesus, through his death, is the way to God. He says, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So there's no mistaking about the miracle from top to bottom. And so that there's no mistaking about the sufficiency of Jesus Christ dying on a cross, bearing our sin, bearing our guilt, receiving the judgment of God that I deserve and that you deserve if you would look to him in faith. Faith is something that happens in the heart. It's trust. It's looking to Jesus with the eyes of our heart and trusting in him, trusting that his death on a cross is what grants me access to God. It erases all the guilt of our sins and grants us access to a holy God. You could have all the money in the world. You could have all the fame in the world. You could have all your favorite collectibles in the world. You could have your dream car, your dream truck, your dream boat, your dream anything, your dream mansion. You could have it all. But guess what? There's going to come a time where each and every one of us breathes our final breath. And the soul will depart from the body. We will immediately, without delay, immediately be cut off from all of our stuff. It's going to happen. The soul will go and stand before a holy God. Will we be granted at that time access into his presence for all eternity? Or will we be sent away? Well, here's what I'm preaching. Here's what the Bible preaches. This is the central message of the Bible for mankind. Based on the death of Christ, if you put your faith in him, you'll be granted access. Amen? Access to a holy God. And since it's about what did grant us access to God, the death of Christ, let me go through a short list of things that are commonly treated as if they grant us access to God, or at least treated as if they help grant us access to God, but in reality don't at all help grant us access to God. Are you tracking with this? What this list is going to be? Things that are commonly treated or commonly said or commonly thought that they either grant us access to God or at least help grant us access to God, but they don't in any way, shape, or form. Number one, good deeds. Good deeds, good works. Doing good things for other people or groups of people on earth contribute 0% of granting us access to God. 0%. Good deeds. Secondly, religion. Religion. 0%. The practice of outward religion contributes 0% to granting us access to God. Now, there's two subheadings under this religion, religious activity. Private individual religious devotion or public visible group religious devotion. It's an expression of our faith. It's an expression of our devotion to God, but it doesn't help grant us access to God. In fact, the religious devotion, individual, private, or group, public, comes after faith. And if it comes after faith, it also comes after forgiveness. It comes after salvation. Good deeds, religion, trying to be a moral person. Of course, we all we all know that that's relative, right? I can remember this when I was lost, thinking you're a moral person. And who do you measure yourself up against? Oh, the worst people in history, the worst criminals on earth. I haven't murdered anyone. Well, great. What do I want, a prize for that? Well, but see, here's the measuring stick. Here's the measuring stick, God himself. All right, that's what we're to measure up to. God's holy character, God's perfect character. Hey, listen, that's a pretty irreverent way to say it, but forgive me. Sometimes the New Jersey comes out in me in my preaching. I have no control over it. Look, God made the world. God owns the world. God reigns as king over the world. And God made me and God made you. God made the nations. We are all accountable to God. We're breathing his air. He's keeping us alive. He's keeping things going. He's keeping things together. It's his world. He owns it. So one of my favorite preachers says he has rights on everything, including us. And don't believe what you hear from the culture. We are accountable to God. We do owe him obedience. And it's right that we owe God obedience because God made the world. And we haven't obeyed him. Again, thank God he's provided a Savior. Good deeds, religion, trying to be moral, just wanting to go to heaven. You know, wanting to go to heaven in order to miss hell is not faith. Yeah, it's good to want to go to heaven, and God might be doing something in your heart, stirring up something in your heart to seek him. But just having a desire to go to heaven doesn't grant me access to God. Trusting in Christ based on his death is what grants us access to God. Just believing that God exists does not grant us access to God. Now, I want you to believe that God exists. I want you to believe that the true and living God of Scripture exists. But just believing that God exists does not save us from our sins. Satan believes God exists. Judas believed God exists. I want you to believe that God exists, but there's other things we need to believe in order to be saved. We must come to a recognition that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. That's called conviction. That's called conviction. When the Spirit of God starts to press in our minds and impress upon our hearts that we are not good, we are sinners, we are guilty, we are corrupt, we deserve God's judgment, we are under God's judgment. Oh God, I need a Savior. That's called conviction. So we believe God exists. Yes, that's a good thing, but that's not the whole story. We must come under conviction. But then God's goal for us is not just to keep us in conviction. Conviction is meant to get us to conversion. See, once we see our need for a Savior, we're supposed to look to the Savior in faith. And that's when we're saved. That's when our sins are forgiven. Faith is a spiritual action. Faith happens in the heart. Now, you've heard from the Scripture the story of Christ being betrayed and accused and beaten and mocked publicly and suffering and dying and you on a cross, and you've heard the right interpretation of the events, and that's always important in Bible teaching, not just knowing the events, but the proper interpretation of those events. So you've heard the preaching of the meaning of the cross. On the cross, Jesus took the guilt of sinners on himself. 1 Peter 2:24, he took our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He died in the place of sinners. He received the judgment that sinners deserve. All of this, the cross, the meaning of the cross. So you can put your faith in Jesus this evening, in your heart, put your faith in Jesus this evening and be forgiven of all your sins. Put your faith in Jesus this evening and have the gift of eternal life. Put your faith in Jesus this evening and you'll be granted access to God forever and no one can take that away from you. Faith in Jesus from the heart is what saves. It's what grants us access to God. That's what we're all about as a church. I mean, this is our greatest joy. This is our treasure. This is why we worship. This is why we sing songs. This is why we're able to pray. It's the basis of all of our service, all of our care and love for each other, all of our outreach and evangelism to the world. This is what we're about. It's what we have to be about because it's what God is about. It's what the Bible is about. Jesus Christ, a Savior from God. And we receive Jesus as Savior through faith through faith. You mean to tell me that I don't need to go out and prove myself worthy first? That's exactly what I mean to tell you. That is exactly. There's no probation period where a sinner needs to go out and prove himself worthy of being saved. That's absurd. That's the opposite of the message. The good news is you don't need to prove yourself. You could never prove yourself. But despite that, put your faith in Jesus and God will receive you into his presence. Salvation, salvation, salvation. It means being delivered. It means being spared from danger or spared from death. Salvation. This is what the Bible's about. Salvation. And the salvation that Jesus gives is a specific salvation. Like if you're drowning, you need to be saved from drowning. You need a salvation. You need a Savior to get you up out of the water. Well, the salvation that Jesus provides is a spiritual salvation. He delivers us from sin, and he delivers us from death, and he delivers us from the judgment of God. He delivers us from sin, he delivers us from death, and he delivers us from the judgment of God. Praise God. Praise God. He sent a Savior. I'm so happy that Jesus is my Savior. I do not have, I don't have a bad memory. I guess in some instances, the guys who work with me know I can be quite absent-minded at times. What I mean to say is I remember vividly life before Jesus. There's no way in the world I want to go back to that darkness. There's no way in the world I would ever want in any universe to go back to that despair, to that selfishness, to that life of manipulation and nonsense and childish and absurdities and service to Satan. I'm happy to be saved. And now being saved, saved from the reigning power of sin inside of me, I'm also saved from the eternal consequences of my sin, which is the judgment of God. So, brother, I win on both sides. I win in this life, and you win in this life, being able to live in communion with Christ, and you win in the life to come, being granted access into the throne room of God. Well, that's a great place to be. It's the best place in all the universe. You know, there's the seen realm, and there's the unseen realm. And there's different areas in the unseen realm, but the best area in the unseen realm is the throne room of God, the presence of God on his glorious throne, and your risen Savior, Jesus Christ, seated at his right hand as the one who granted us access there. Oh, what a joy to see him there one day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for loving us when we didn't deserve it. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for your patience where this free salvation is still available to sinners. All over the world, everywhere, this salvation is going forth in power, being preached, being taught, being published, being explained, being shared, people giving testimony to the salvation you've provided. Thank you that you're patient, that this is still available to have access to your throne room based on the death of Christ. It's in the name of Christ we lift this prayer. Amen.